What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Teeing It Up with C&D, the greatest sports podcast in the Southeast Metro Detroit region. I'm Connor, the C of the C&D, as always, with my co-host, Vladdy. A week behind, but we're starting to get into some real sports here, as in football season. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Got a short work week ahead of me, so I'm already 25% of the way done. By the time people kind of see this tomorrow, I'll be 50% of the way through my week. That's beautiful. And you encompass it perfectly. We're going to start talking about football again. We're going to be going through the NFL teams' kind of projections for this year, certain kind of additions and losses. So I don't want to take any more time. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm also doing good, man. The summer's winding down. So yeah, that's really all I got. Going to go back to school here in a couple of weeks, but I'll update. We'll be podcasting well up to then. So most of today is going to be kind of our first in a series of getting ready for the NFL season. We're going to kind of preview everybody but the hometown Lions. We're going to do a full episode on them in a couple of weeks here. But today we'll do a quick run through of every single team and all the divisions, who we see in, who we see out, and what to look for this season. Off the hop, before we get into it, be remiss if we didn't mention that the Olympics are going on. I don't know. I've talked about this with you and other people. The Olympics for me are just kind of like a background noise for the most part, and I pay very little attention to them. Probably I should as an American. I can tell you the major things that have happened, and that's essentially it. That being, I guess, what would you say, that if you had to quickly go in major things? I would say we talked about Lyles with the photo finish. I would say the gymnastics team. I know I didn't mention that off air, but Simone Biles stuff and how they've kind of washed the floor with other countries. And then the one that we can maybe spend a minute here is Scottie Scheffler continuing his heck of a season, winning the gold medal, the John Rahm collapse, plus five on the back. He doesn't even medal. And Scottie does it again.
Yeah, I'll start with the golf just because that's kind of where the name of the show comes from. Yeah, Rahm, I think, was at the 10th or the 11th tee box, had a 4-shot lead over the rest of the field, and you were kind of like, all right, well, let's just see what kind of fight we have for the silver medal. And then I think he doubled a hole. He kind of had a couple of Rory missed putts from 2 or 3 feet where he, as soon as he misses that, he does his little stupid putter twirl. It's like, dude, why don't you make the putt instead of always trying to pretend how frustrated you are? I see that from him more than anybody else. But yes, I mean, Scotty with a blistering back nine. I think he tied the course record of 9 under 62. It was great. I don't really have much else to say because I think this is like as a golf course and as a tournament setup, like you're missing a lot of the top guys. I know you talked about how the PGA Tour is some diluted victories and how we should discount Scottie's earlier wins. I guess you even further discount this one considering there was only 60 guys playing, and out of those 60, about 40 of them nobody's ever heard of. So
I agree. I have a hard time with people saying it's like a fifth major kind of because of that. And because it's every 4 years. I mean, I guess you could argue it's more prestigious because it's every 4 years, but I don't look at the Olympics as anywhere close to a major. That's why I kind of still said I'd almost rather Shoffley's season, just purely because I go off of majors and majors alone for how your season was. And Shoffley had more than Scottie Scheffler, but that's, we can go more into depth on that at another day. Especially since golf is pretty much over for the season. I know they have the FedEx Cup here in a couple weeks, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I guess other notes, Novak beats Alcaraz, kind of gets the best of him.
That was, I'm going to stop you real quick. That was one of the best tennis matches I've seen in a very, very long time. Novak played probably his highest level tennis in a very, very long time, probably a decade, if not more. He was painting lines, and I was thinking about it. Carlos wasn't at his best, but Novak didn't allow him to be. Like, one of those things that Carlos loves to do is kind of like a front runner, is just kind of get ahead in the, not necessarily ahead on the score, but ahead in the point where he's able to just flex his muscles per se and just start hitting these absolute rippers. He couldn't do that. Everything Novak was hitting was deep and into the corner, and Carlos just had to return. And when it turned into a return game like that, Novak's the steadiest tennis player of all time. There was no breaks, which is interesting. There was 14 breakpoint opportunities. No one ever officially broke. Novak with two tiebreak wins, and he gets the gold medal he's been waiting for his career. So good for him.
That's kind of all I got Olympics wise. I know the US is, I believe, tied for golds with China and winning overall medals. So that's your Olympic update. Moving forward, we're going to go division by division here for our NFL team preview. Is there a division you'd want to start with?
Let's just do the NFC North because we're only going to do three of those teams. Let's start with the Vikings. Go.
Yeah, the Vikings. Probably the only team I have in this division that won't be anywhere near 500. It's obviously a new regime as far as I have they said if Sam Darnold's going to start yet?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Sam Darnold will be the quarterback. JJ McCarthy will sit out. We'll see how long that lasts. A team that pretty much the only note I had was watch out for a Justin Jefferson trade because I'm not sure his window necessarily fits the Vikings window.
He already signed his contract. He's not getting traded.
Okay. But I don't know, like if you're I mean if you're just I guess he doesn't care because like you said he got his contract, but if you're Justin Jefferson and you've got four more years of this and the Vikings have three more years of being shit like this.
Okay, see, I think you're drastically underplaying how bad or how like or overplaying how bad they are. Like, yeah, I agree with you in this particular season that they're not going to be good because you lose Kirk Cousins, and yes, JJ McCarthy could long term be better, but we're doing a 2024 Vikings review. We're not doing a 2020 or preview. We're not doing a 2026 Vikings preview, so we don't count that. So I understand the short term, but long term, I mean, Hockenson's not going to be healthy this year, not fully at least, considering the point in time in which he tore his ACL last year. You lose Danielle Hunter, but you bring in Jonathan Greenard. You do have a pretty good offensive line when they're healthy. I guess there is questions from Jordan Addison off the field because he's a little bit of a fucking idiot, and I'm not going to say more about that because there really doesn't need to be. But I do think that this is not something that like needs to be some Washington Commanders 12-year rebuild. I think that next year, as in 2025, they can get back to possibly being competitive. I think you're a little underplaying maybe how I don't think they're as bad as maybe some of the bottom teams in the NFL will be.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that. Maybe it's just me and my brain if they're going to be the worst team in this division, in my opinion. I see them winning probably five or six games.
Yeah, and I completely agree there. I just wanted to talk about how you're talking about this Jefferson outlook, 'cause I disagreed on that point.
Yeah, you kind of talked me out of it a little bit. Anything else to add before we move
Not with the
on?
Vikings.
The Green Bay Packers. Obviously, the big story last week was Jordan Love being made the highest paid quarterback in the game. I'm a hater on that contract. I know it's kind of how the position has gone over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, and that once you're up, you pay the guy no matter what he's done. Apparently, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, six games or 60. With Jordan Love's case, I'm not necessarily sold on him being an actual legit franchise quarterback, in my opinion. Obviously, it's hard to say after he wins a playoff game what he did. You know, seven of the last 10 games were wins. But I think people forget a shaky start. And yeah, I don't know. This isn't, I don't see this team really improving too much off of last year. It would take Jordan Love to take another step forward, which I'm not sure he particularly has.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, what I had in my notes is this is kind of one of those wild card teams where you, like you say, you pay Jordan Love like a top 10 quarterback, but is he actually that, or for lack of a better term, I'm not going to sit here and think this is true, but or was that a Daniel Jones flash in the pan season where, oh my God, one playoff win at Minnesota, oh my God, one playoff win at Dallas, and suddenly we got to pay this man, and now we're kind of handicapped. Again, I don't think that's the case. I absolutely think he's a better quarterback than Daniel Jones is, but it is a scary situation. Obviously, if you're a fantasy football kind of follower, you'll know all about kind of the receiving core of all those young guys and the tight ends as well. And you know, they go and get Josh Jacobs, and that offensive line is kind of starting to get younger after kind of aging out Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley and Elton Jenkins, who's still there, but he's on his last legs. The defense always has playmakers, but it always feels like the defense plays a little bit below the sum of the parts, and they're a little bit short of expectations, in my opinion. I guess they added Xavier McKinney from the Giants, which I don't know why the Giants would let him go, but it is what it is. So I think I agree with your overall assessment of that team, where I don't necessarily see some massive improvement where they're winning 12 plus games and kind of clinching an NFC North title. But I also am not going to sit here and pretend like they're going to go sub 500.
No, I think 9-8, exactly like last year, is kind of their range for me. And actually, an even bigger wild card, the last team in this division, besides the Lions, obviously, the Chicago Bears. Another team that kind of had a good end to their season. That's year three of the Matt Eberflus era, who kind of saved his job with kind of their ending of the season there. They finished 7-10, obviously, a first overall pick, Caleb Williams is going to come in. They add a bunch of other weapons and Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. They say goodbye to Justin Fields. I don't know. It's all dependent on where Caleb Williams is at as far as his development as a quarterback. You know, is he going to come in day one and be the guy? No, but he's going to have the most offensive weapons a first overall pick has ever had in the history of football, perhaps around him. I just named off some of them. They even drafted Rome Odunze. They're going DJ Moore is there. They're going to have so many guys for him to be able to come in and at least be comfortable in his first few games. Now, like I said, in a relatively tough division, does that mean they take another step forward? No. I still think this is probably 7 to 9 wins, just like this past year is kind of their range. Possibly again, like I said, though, they're such a wild card because they're so good at on defense as well. They've obviously traded for why am I blanking on his name from
Montez
Washington,
Sweat.
Montez Sweat. And they've got guys on defense. I don't know. I see this team maybe making a step up, but I don't necessarily see it being more than a game above 500.
Yeah, I mean, you hit most of the stuff that I was going to say. They had a top 10 defense after that Montez Sweat trade. They have guys at all three levels with some good linebackers. You have a very, very good secondary with Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson. You mentioned Caleb Williams, and this incorporates the defense as well, but obviously for a quarterback, we like to talk about who he's playing with on the field at the same time. But it's the greatest situation a number one overall pick has ever walked into, just flat out. It's not the same offensive line that Justin Fields had to run for his life in 2022, where it was take the snap, oh, 1 second off the clock, I need to run away or I'm going to have my collarbone broken by a defensive end. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this team scares me yet, but if Caleb Williams is half as good as advertised and what he's supposed to be, what people call him from his like prospect status, he's an upgrade on Justin Fields. And this is a team that is going to do some damage. Like you say, maybe not this first year as kind of he adjusts to NFL life and maybe learning how to not play hero ball, which is something he did a lot of at USC. Maybe year one doesn't kind of kill it, but going forward, this team's going to be a force.
Let's move on. I'll let you go first this time with this division. The NFC East.
I love it.
We'll start at the bottom. The New York Football Giants. I don't know if you saw any of the offseason hard knocks, but they didn't leave anything to be desired for me. It's a lot of question marks as an organization, first time GM. First time head coach in Dable, who, after surprising many people 2 years ago, fall up flat in many regards. And when the only thing is that Giants fans that I know talk about is how Danny DeVito ruined their ability to get an even higher pick, you know it was a rough season. And unfortunately, they say goodbye to Saquon. Daniel Jones is going to be back in the mix here, the $40 million man. He doesn't really have anybody to throw to. Obviously, they draft a kid from LSU, Malik Nabers, in the first round. But yeah, I don't have much to say on the Giants. This is going to get bad before it gets better, unfortunately.
Thanks for saying I get to go first, then proceeding to give
Oh,
your entire
sorry.
take.
My
No,
bad.
I'm
My
kidding,
bad.
but I actually have a slight different take on this. I actually think they're kind of going to be the commanders of the last half decade, where I think they just string things along and they're too good to be in the number one pick mix, but they're obviously not good enough to make playoffs. You mentioned Tommy DeVito and how he kind of went on that stupid 3-week insanity run and killed their chances at one of the top three quarterbacks. And I completely agree with that. But Daniel Jones is still an upgrade on him. Daniel Jones missed all of last year. The offensive line has gotten better. Now that doesn't say much because if you're near the bottom, you don't really have a lot of room to not get better. Obviously, you mentioned Malik Nabers, who is apparently a borderline generational wide receiver and would have been the wide receiver one last year, would have been the wide receiver one the year before that, and potentially could have challenged Ja'Marr Chase in terms of prospect status. And it just so happened that he was up against the greatest wide receiver prospect since Julio. With that said, they did trade for Brian Burns, and we're going to have an absolute three-headed monster on the defensive line with Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeaux. Like I said, I don't know why you let Xavier McKinney walk, but it is what it is. Overall, they're probably devoid of that top-end talent at most position groups, but I do think there's just enough here for them to get to 5 or 6 wins and take themselves out of the Carson Beck sweepstakes.
Washington Commanders, and I will let you go first.
I mean, I just talked about how they never went into the tank. They finally did. They got what they hope is going to be their quarterback of the future with Jaden Daniels. Those in-season trades of Chase Young and Montez Sweat were kind of enough to actually get into the tank. They still keep Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne on the defensive line. I guess Terry McLaurin's still there. For some reason, they signed what's left of Austin Ekeler. They bring in Tyler Biadasz from the Cowboys. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's kind of like the Giants, where I could see them getting to 5 or 6 wins, but at least unlike the Giants, they have what they hope is the quarterback of the future, and they can look at other needs when they're picking at 9 or 10 in the draft next year.
I'm gonna start with I'm probably the least optimistic of any of these quarterbacks. For me, is Jaden Daniels. And I'm sorry to hear that, Washington fans, the none listening to this. But I don't know, and it's I hate saying that about somebody that hasn't played it down, but I'm the least optimistic about him. I think you're exactly right that there is something there to maybe win 5 or 6 games, but if he's not the guy and he's as bad as I think he can be, it could be bad fast, and you could be looking at them going into kind of that purgatory period just like the Giants. So.
The only thing, I can't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, he's not your typical prototype passing quarterback. He is that new Lamar Jackson breed of dual threat. And if he makes it work, he makes it work. He kind of had the late breakout at LSU, didn't do anything at Arizona State. So we'll
Right.
see.
I'm always skeptical about those guys. I know there's Joe Burrows of the world, but there's only one Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
If you're going bottom to top, I disagree with your statement about where they're, or is this where they finished last year, or where they're going to finish this year?
That's just who I'm looking at.
Oh, okay, sure.
There's no order.
Okay, so I guess that's kind of a preview of what I'm going to say about the Cowboys here in a couple minutes. But that late season collapse last year, we all know about it. Put it behind them, refix the kind of the coaching staff, because there was obviously issues with the new defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator that they had, and I think they lost the room a little bit. They lose Jason Kelce, who was a nice Hall of Famer and massive in their success of the tush push. I wonder how that will affect him without him being the one to snap and kind of get that initial kind of movement of the defensive line. You bring in Saquon, who I actually think Saquon behind that offensive line is set for a career year. He's got a good offensive line for the first time in his professional life. You obviously still have that two-headed monster of DeVonta Smith and AJ Brown. Dallas Goedert is a good real-life tight end. Obviously, they still have good old reliable Mr. Cheat himself, Lane Johnson, at right tackle. Greatest false start guy that never gets called on planet Earth. I hate his guts for the way he plays, but it is what it is. And I'll just say one thing from kind of like my personal talk, like thoughts about how I've kind of not necessarily graded, but viewed Eagles drafts over the past couple of years. It's more of a, everyone loves to say Howie Roseman wins the draft every year. Time to prove them wrong. You don't have that murderer's row of a defensive end room last year or 2 years ago, where you got like 80 team sacks behind Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and Hassan Reddick. Josh Sweat's still there. Robert Quinn's gone. So it's time for the new guys to step up. Let's see what Jordan Davis can do. Let's in the run game. Let's see what Jalen Carter can do with some interior pressure. It's to me, it's on the defensive end specifically. It's Everyone sat there and give myself included. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm going to recuse myself from potentially being wrong here. Everyone loves to give him his flowers at the end of the draft, say, "Oh my God, he won the draft." Prove it. You've got your young guys who are going to finally start making plays. Prove it.
The only thing I'll add with the Eagles is it's a big year for Jalen Hurts. I think he took a step back last year after
Yes.
getting the contract. It's time for him to take a step forward and be a franchise quarterback. He was that 2 years ago. He was not that last year. Big kind of, I guess, stepping stone year for him.
Yeah, to the Cowboys, I want to quickly take lead here just because I actually think this team's on implosion watch. You've got a quarterback with no contract, a receiver with no contract, a coach with no contract, a lunatic owner who's not quite David Tepper levels of idiot, but does like to micromanage things and not let the actual football people in the room make certain decisions. And I just feel like they're one little spark or ignition away from fully imploding. The running back room downgrades again. I mean, Tony Pollard wasn't great last year. He was probably league average, but he leaves and you replace him with the dead body of Ezekiel Elliott and
I
Rico
love that he's
Dowdle.
going back.
And then Rico Dowdle and Royce Freeman. That might be the worst running back room in the league. The offensive line is not what it was 2, 3 years ago, and it's certainly not what it was when Dak Prescott started his career. You used to have three Hall of Famers, now you've only got one left. Micah Parsons, I mean, obviously he's one of the best defensive players and the most impactful defensive players in the league. But around that, it's not really like what's left. DeMarcus Lawrence is well past his best. Trayvon Diggs, who I don't think was ever good. I know he led the league in interceptions that 1 year, but he also led the league in yards allowed. And it's like, I don't need a corner who gambles and either gives up a touchdown or gets a pick. I'd rather take the corner who's just sound and doesn't let the pass get completed. Leighton Van Der Esch is kind of injured and pretty much forcibly retired, if not officially retired. So your linebacker room's kind of a question mark. Pretty much their key free agent signing, and I don't know if they're in cap hell. I don't think they are because I don't know who they are paying right now. But their key free agent was Eric Kendricks, and like that's a great name 5 years ago, but not in 2024. So the only thing I'll say here is I'd love to have CeeDee Lamb in fantasy this upcoming season. I think he could hit have 300 targets.
I don't know. It's the same team, like you said. It's slightly older, and they've lost quite a few veterans. But to me, it's still like they're in the same category of team for me as they have been for the last 3 years. It's just this team hasn't gotten any better to take that step that they refuse to ever take.
Agree. Yeah. Like I said,
And that's why I think it'll be a 10 to 12 win first round out again. For me.
I'm not saying they're going to be bad and they're suddenly going to be fighting in like the early teens of a draft pick. I just think that with what's going on with this locker room and none of these guys getting paid, I just feel like if something goes wrong and let's say they start a season badly, poorly, 0-3, 0-4, I could see guys quit.
And that starts at the top. I mean, when your quarterback isn't signed, that's the most important position on the field. So.
Yeah, no, and look, we loved, and I just said this about Daniel Jones, we love to make fun of Dak Prescott, but as we talk with Jordan Love, it is a lot easier to pay Dak Prescott maybe a little bit more money than he's worth than to try and find his replacement. Because you're more than likely you're going to find three or four guys who can't play and you'll have thrown away 8 years of your franchise.
Completely agree. Moving on to the NFC West. I'll start at the bottom for this one so we know Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. I'll start. I guess Kyler comes back from his injury last year, plays very, very well. I've said this before. They were 1-8 without him, 3-5 with him, and that's with them having no weapons. Hollywood Brown was already banged up at that point, so it was pretty much Trey McBride and Greg Dortch is the only guys who had functional hands on that team. So getting Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be massive. Paris Johnson seems to be a great anchor at left tackle for that offensive line. On defense, it is still pretty ugly. It's Buda Baker and 10 pieces of wood. But depending on how good Kyler can play and maybe how seemingly easy this transition for Marvin Harrison is supposed to be going into the pros, I don't see why this is one of those teams where they're going to fight in every game and they're going to steal some games they probably shouldn't. But ultimately, I'd assume that they can maybe get to 7 wins. I don't really see more than that for them, but I don't think they're going to be the dumpster fire that they have in the last 2 years.
That's purely dependent on Kyler staying healthy, which he hasn't necessarily been able to do in his career. like you said, it's kind of his second coming, I guess, now with Marvin Harrison, and that, like, you've got your guy. This is kind of where you make your money as far as, are you the guy long term or not? Obviously, he kind of played the Cardinals out of drafting his replacement essentially last year, unless you count adding Desmond Ridder as perhaps competition.
I don't think I do.
I don't either. I'm not necessarily sold on Josh Gannon being a good coach or having the ability to turn this thing around. That might be harsh for a guy that's only been a coach for 1 year and had one of the worst rosters in football last year. I don't understand why they haven't tried. I'm sure they have to move Buda Baker. Seems like a very valuable asset. I know he's kind of getting up there in age, but I don't understand why they haven't tried to move him yet.
I think the issue is he's a safety. What are you realistically going to get
What's the
for him?
market?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I agree with your statement of he's not going to fit you, or he realistically won't fit your timeline unless you do some Detroit Lions kind of get out of jail free card and show up within a year. But I agree with that.
The LA Rams.
I think this is one of the more bipolar teams in
Yeah.
football. The offensive line's not great. Cooper Kupp is a year older. Aaron Donald finally retires from the sport. And at the same time, they always pull a rabbit out of the hat with these late round picks. You find Puka Nacua 2 years ago, you find Kyron Williams, who does absolutely nothing in year one and then just shows up and lights the league on fire. Yeah, I mean, I talked in the past about Kobe Turner and Byron Young, kind of the two young defensive kind of edge players that have helped or can hopefully help minimize the statistical loss of Aaron Donald. Obviously, they're not going to replace the physical presence of Aaron Donald and what he does on a play-to-play basis. Obviously, Sean McVay's still Sean McVay, one of the better play callers in the league. Matthew Stafford's still there. It's an above-average quarterback in football. I could see this being, once again, kind of a wild card team in the playoffs, and I can also see them finishing with like 6 wins. I
Yep.
am mystified at what this team might do.
Yeah, I also have no idea what they're gonna do. Blake Corum, perhaps the new Kyron Williams, maybe for fantasy sake, I hope so. I don't know. And you mentioned Stafford above average, but he's also, getting a year older. This is his fourth season now in LA. He was hurt for a good chunk of the year prior. We'll see. We'll see it as soon as night one in Detroit. So again, also one of the most bipolar, could see this team winning 5 games or 10 games.
Seattle.
Also a team I don't really know much. Like, they keep Geno. They have a lot of young pieces there on offense. They have a lot of pieces there on defense there. They kind of have a disappointing season last year, which made you think that maybe they were going to shop for something else besides Geno. They end up rolling with him. I'm not sure I love that decision. It's obviously a new regime. I don't know. Another team I could see winning 10 or 11 games or 5 games.
So I agree on the ceiling. I actually think they have a higher floor. I think this is a team where you mention great pieces everywhere, good offensive line, great trio of receivers, great running back room, a question mark at best in a quarterback, a good defense, some great corners, Tariq Woolen, Devon Witherspoon. But Pete Carroll's now gone. And, Pete Carroll didn't really do the most towards the end of his career in Seattle, but that was still a very, very stable head coach with a great identity. They're starting over with Mike McDonald. Now, Mike McDonald was probably the best hire, unless I'm just blatantly missing someone, I think, from like the last coaching
Harbaugh.
year. Sure. First year head coach. How about
Okay.
that? But I do like kind of what he can do with the defense, the way he ran Baltimore's defense there for those years. I think they're a slightly higher floor. I don't see them only winning 5 games, but I also don't see them pushing past 10. I think this is one of those teams that's going to be in the hunt for a wild card spot in a weak NFC. If they were in the AFC, I wouldn't have them as a playoff team just because it's that much deeper of a conference. But in the AFC or in the NFC, where 9 wins can get you in, why not have a day?
The San Francisco 49ers.
Another year. I actually kind of had
I was
minimum.
going to say, I wrote down another kick at the can. That's all I
Yeah,
wrote
it's
down.
another year of having the best roster in football, and another year to see if we can get it done. I think this is either their last or their second to last chance of the Super Bowl window with this group of players. Obviously, there's the current Brandon Ayuk just smoking at this point, damn near fires of rumors of is he going to get traded or not? It would make no sense for them to trade him. He's not on a franchise tag, so he can't hold out because if he tries to hold out, he doesn't have a year of service time accrued off his contract and he finds himself in the exact same situation next year. So he'll have to report to the team and start playing eventually. And it makes no sense to trade him. You have te you technically have 3 more years of team control on him because you can tag him twice. So if you're in a Super Bowl window, you don't trade probably your best pure receiver and one of the 15 or 20 best receivers in football. So figure out whatever issues you have with him, even if that means like just a tag and trade later. Find out how to mend the fences for this year and just say, listen, we have a common goal. It's to go beat that stupid frog in Kansas. Let's get our shit together.
I don't have anything to add. It's just like I said, it's another, like you said, another kick at the can with one of the best rosters in football. Can you get over the hump? That's it. End of story. The NFC South, Atlanta. Yeah. Glad he makes a puking emoji
Yeah,
for
I hate
this.
this division. I'm gonna end every single one of my notes with this team is not good, but in this division, who knows? Yeah,
Kind of, you can say that against all three. Also, everybody but Carolina, I think you could say
oh, I
that.
think you can say for Carolina too. Like I said, this division's so bad in my opinion that any single one of them, like, so we'll get there. The Falcons kind of had the surprise of the NFL draft with that Michael Penix selection. And at the
Yeah.
time, I was kind of super comical and laughing at it. And to be completely fair, I've come around to the point where I wouldn't ever make that move if I was a GM, but I can at least understand it. You sign Kirk Cousins. If he comes back healthy, you've got yourself basically a redshirted quarterback for 2 seasons, maybe three. And that's assuming all things go well. If things don't go well, and let's say Kirk can't come back from this injury, he has to retire or whatever happens, you just drafted a starting quarterback at the 8th overall pick, and suddenly it doesn't look so bad. He's gonna go into a team that has weapons, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan. So I can certainly see there's a lot of toys to play with, and both of those guys, whether it be Penix or Kirk Cousins on one leg, are an upgrade on what was left of Desmond Ridder and the Taylor Heinicke hot potato that they did or didn't play. I just think that the defensive side of the ball doesn't have a lot to work with. It's basically Grady Jarrett, AJ Terrell, an overpaid Jesse Bates, and then largely average players. If I had to guess, they're my favorite to win the division, but what am I going to do? I don't strongly believe in any of these teams. Like this is going to be one of those classic years of are we going to get a division winner that's sub 500?
Yeah, I'm gonna actually gonna go out on a limb and say this is the team I think has the best shot to win this division, and that's purely because me putting in faith and there's a chance that Kirk Cousins maybe revitalizes some of these like what were supposed to be high. They were some of the best offensive prospects at their time, and obviously Bijan was only last year, but Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and that maybe that with a real quarterback, with a coach that will hopefully use them maybe. That they can kind of, I mean, from what I've seen is that this guy is going to be doing this West Coast offense, and maybe that revitalizes these prospects' career that haven't really taken off like they should. And that's just me being optimistic. And that's why I could maybe see this team make the playoffs for the first time since 2016, I would say.
That's crazy. I actually didn't know it was that long of a drought for him. That's nice. Where do we go next?
Carolina.
All right, good. So obviously I mentioned David Tepper a lot over this offseason, how he has to get his hands off of the running in this team. But I like the hire of Dave Canales. In the last 2 seasons, he's helped both Geno and Baker Mayfield resurrect their careers and get them kind of longer term contracts. We'll see what he can do with Bryce Young. I'm going to try and be fair here. I don't want to just try and slander and kick people while they're down. As bad as the Panthers were last year, I'm not really sure how much of that I can put on Bryce Young. That offensive line was horrific, and his weapons were a washed Adam Thielen and then just some Pringles cans. Since then, you bring in Diontae Johnson, you draft Xavier Leggett, you take the first running back selected in the class in Jonathan Brooks, you bring in Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt to kind of bolster the interior of your offensive line. With that said, the offense should be much improved. On the defense, you traded away Brian
Mm-hmm.
Burns, which you probably should have done in season last year because you were getting more from teams anyway at the time than you ended up
Yep.
getting from the Giants. But it's Derrick Brown, and then once again, just like some of the other times I've said, a collection of nobodies. So
What's left of Javion Clowney?
yeah, that's true. That's how you replace Brian Burns is with a 32-year-old Jadeveon Clowney. That's crazy. Yeah, I would say this. I wouldn't expect anything of this team. But in this division, hey, if 7-10 or 8-9 win you a division, who knows?
It can't get any worse than last year.
No, it
We'll
cannot.
just say that.
Didn't they go, what, 1-16, 2-15?
2-15.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't see this team being that much better, to be honest. I'm, as like you said, you can't put so much of it on Bryce Young, but I don't think he's the guy.
Fair. I mean, he's gonna have two chances to prove it. So,
Yep. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
yeah. I guess I don't have much here because they didn't really do much. They
No.
basically brought everyone back from last year, lost their offensive coordinator, and said, "Let's go at it again." Yeah, it's a good enough offensive line when healthy. There's still some key contributors on defense, albeit aging. We'll see what they can do. I mean, they come off the playoff berth. They kind of pushed the Lions, actually the playoff win, and then they kind of pushed the Lions almost to the max in the divisional round. But I mean, I don't see much. I don't expect much of this team considering you lose Dave Canales and once again everyone's a year older. But in this division, who knows?
Yeah, I think this is probably the second best team in the division. I'm actually somewhat of a believer in the revitalized Baker. I don't think he's anywhere near like a true franchise quarterback, but for what they're trying to do right now, I think he can be the guy. You look at Mike Evans is still there. Lord knows how long he'll play, but that's a first ballot Hall of Famer that
Oh,
kind of goes
yeah.
under the wraps. And year in after year, he is consistently one of the best receivers in football. Chris Godwin's still there. He's never healthy, but he's still there. I don't know. I think this is the second best team in a division where you don't have to win a lot of games to win it. So.
Agree. To the Saints, last team in the division. This is another year of the Saints running it back with that old core and another year of kicking the salary
Gross.
cap can down the road. I'm not a believer of what's left in Derek Carr. I think he was probably
No.
slightly underrated in Oakland and then Vegas, but now I don't see it. They've already lost
Same.
Ryan Ramczyk for the season with an injury. Hopefully you take Talisse Fuagh in the first round and you say, you know what, maybe the plan was never to start you year one, but guess what, buddy? Shit happens. Get out there and go protect the quarterback. The defense keeps getting older. Tyrann Mathieu, Cameron Jordan, DeMario Davis. They actually might have a combined age of over 100 between the three of them. And again, they're good players. I'm just saying they're getting old. I'll give credit to Chris Olave. He's kind of stepped in and filled that Michael Thomas void from kind of the
Yeah.
pre-COVID kind of lunatic slant season that Thomas had, where he just put up obscene numbers. Obviously, I say this every time we talk about this team. If it were up to me, I would have blown this up already and just said, you know what, screw
Yep.
it.
Same.
But they want to keep trying. And in this division, who knows?
Yep. This team is boring and not fun to watch, and they're going to be so mid, as the kids say, that I don't even really want to add anything because they're not worth my time.
I don't disagree. I'm not going to say much more about them. To
Then
the
let's move
AFC.
to a AFC.
Where
Let's
do we
go
go?
with the one I actually find the most interesting. Okay, I do find it. I think there's the most that could go wrong in this division, and there's a lot of question marks, and that's the AFC East.
Okay, let me scroll down there. All right, where are we starting?
We'll start at the bottom. New England. It's the Drake May era. It's the post-Belichick era.
It might not even
Oh,
be the
right.
Drake May era. I'm just
It's
kidding,
is
no.
it are they going to play the Tennessee kid, Milton?
So the reports are that Joe Milton has outplayed Drake May in the camp so far. Here's the issue. Joe Milton, and we
Uh-oh.
know this because
Here we go.
he did it at Michigan and then he did it at Tennessee. He is a Hall of Fame practice summer player. He
That's
won
true.
three summer Heismans in Ann Arbor. followed her up with, I think he won a summer Heisman down in Tennessee before getting hurt and losing the job to Hendon Hooker. But he's a sensational man of, because like, with all due respect, he might have the strongest arm I've ever seen for a quarterback. And
It's
because
ridiculous.
I've talked about this before, coaching staff see that and they say, well, I can teach the kid how to play football. I can't teach the kid how to throw it 70 yards from his knees. You can't teach the kid how to play football. Once the pads come on and he's not throwing against the air, he's horrific. So I think this is just stupid smoke. Like it would be stupid of them to try and start Joe Milton over Drake May after Jacoby Brissett gets benched, because he's actually the week one starter. It's Jacoby Brissett, the old guy, just because it's easier to go from old to new. You can't bench your young guy and then go to a veteran and then go back to the young guy later.
I think that's right. I think it's completely right,
Oh
to
yeah,
be
no,
honest.
I think they are doing the right thing. It's just the smoke there is stupid, and I'm sorry we completely went off the tangent. We were talking about the Drake May era, and he'll have his chance this year, I'm sure, down the stream when they're 3-10. It's like, just put the fucking kid in and see what he can do.
This is going to be a bottom
Oh
four
yeah,
team in the NFL.
this is one of the few teams where I can comfortably say that. The wide receiver room is barren. The offensive line has declined from last year. The defense still has names, but is Matthew Judon going to be there for week one? He apparently hates coach already, and we talk about not fitting timelines. He really doesn't fit the Patriots timelines. You better trade him and get something for him. But Bill Belichick's gone, and there was obviously the whole discourse with how much of it was Brady, how much of it was Belichick. Belichick consistently put top 10 defense together. What is this defense going to be without Bill Belichick? And are they still going to be able to make the most out of certain players that have kind of been discarded by the rest of the league? I don't think they will, and this is one of the few teams where I can confidently say I would expect them to be picking in the top five again.
Agreed. Perhaps the team with the most question marks, the New York Jets.
Yes.
After Aaron Rodgers plays all four plays in 2023, he's back for another season. And what's left of him? What's left of this team? I think this could, like, as far as teams with the biggest range of where this could end up, this has got to be at the top of your list. I could see
Yes.
this team winning 12 games. And I could see this team winning four or five, legitimately. They still have pieces on defense. They kind of tried to upgrade the offensive line. We'll see how much they did that. And they've got people to throw to for Rodgers, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you bring in Mike Williams, who can be a great Robin for four games a season before getting hurt. You mentioned the offensive line. You bring in Tyrone Smith from the Cowboys, future Hall of Famer, but on the wrong side of his career, definitely on the back nine and probably on the 18th hole of his career. And honestly, the only thing I'll say is, like, I don't even think it really matters what version of Aaron Rodgers comes back. It's going to be an upgrade on the Zach Wilson, Mike White, hot potato that the Jets played last year. And, like, they were still frisky just because that defense is so good. So I agree with your statement of, in terms of where their range of outcomes is, I can see 12 wins. Maybe I don't go as low as four, but I can see six. And that's probably one of the bigger outputs of a team.
And maybe I don't know, with being in a division with Buffalo, Miami, maybe 12's a little high too, but I don't know.
I don't think it is. I mean, you get
Well,
a.
then let's get into Miami.
Sure. I'll make a declaration right now. This will be my hot take, is I think this team wins the division. Obviously, we all know how sexy they are in September, and then what happens in December with Tua's arm and Mike McDaniel's little finesse offense. We've seen that, but I also think that people deliberately ignore just how banged up that team was last year, where the entire offensive line of
That's true.
starters wasn't playing. They lost like three of their or four of their defensive ends to injuries. You were missing Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle just alternating plays on the sideline in the tents. That team couldn't stay healthy. And I understand that's football. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they're entitled to an excuse, because there's no such thing as you don't get hurt. It's a physical sport. But I choose to believe that the extent of the injuries at the same position groups cannot be as bad as it was this year. And coupled with the Bills' decline, because the Bills lost a lot, I think this is the best team in the division. And that doesn't necessarily mean they've gotten better since last year. I just think that maybe they're going to get to 11, maybe 12 wins, and that'll be more than the rest of the teams behind them.
I could see it. But for me, as far as like the cold weather and all that garbage, I got to see it to believe it. They struggle against good competition. You did mention that a lot of that was due to injuries. They have a ton of turnover on defense, some of it good, some of it bad. You bring in OBJ. Am I reading this right? OBJ is on the
Yeah, he
Dolphins
is
now.
now.
But that doesn't really matter when you have my friend who is now the number one player in the NFL, according to the NFL 100. What a garbage list that was.
That's
Tyreek Hill. Unbelievable. You could have Patrick Mahomes not even be the highest rated quarterback on that list.
Yeah, it's funny.
But yeah, I don't know. They're good. They're power, like they're gonna do their thing on offense like they have the past couple years. Tua's playing for a contract this year.
He already has
So
his contract.
did he get the con?
They paid
I
him.
thought he Okay, never mind. He's not playing for a contract, so perhaps he's unmotivated now.
I
But I
love
agree. I actually am going to also pick them to win the division.
it. And to go into the Bills' last team of the division, that they lost so much. You lose Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, your two best pass catchers from the year before. You lose Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Mitch Morse, Tre'Davious White, Leonard Floyd. And you replace them with a lot of unproven players. And look, that's just kind of how the NFL goes. That's the purpose of the salary cap. You get a Super Bowl window when your guys are on cheap deals. Sometimes it works out for you, sometimes it doesn't. And then when it doesn't work out and you're already paying your quarterback a lot of money, that's okay. It is what it is. Shit happens. There's nothing you can do about it. You move forward. They're still going to be very, very frisky. By no means am I sitting here saying they're going to win five games. Obviously, Josh Allen is kind of the video game quarterback, the guy who just says to hell with it and just goes wild and does whatever he wants. He's incredibly fun to watch, and they are a well-coached team. And it seems like I think they maybe figured out a little bit of we need to run the ball to be long-term successful once Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator last year. So I have a little bit more faith in kind of their planned attack of how to be sustained good on offense versus kind of the Josh Allen just go crazy and create a couple magic drives for us. But I just think that they lost so much that there is going to be a kind of a nice little regression year, and that's where the Dolphins take advantage to win the division.
Yeah, I still think like the Josh Allen effect gets them into the playoffs this year.
Could buy that.
If you held a gun to my head, but I don't see this being the team to get them over the hump, so to speak, that they haven't been able to do in the Josh Allen era.
Agreed. And I would not want to be facing Josh Allen in a one-off playoff game either.
No,
Even
that's
coming home.
also true. That's
So,
also true.
yeah. AFC South.
Another South, okay.
I sure. Colts.
Yeah, Colts are a weird one too. Anthony Richardson, who got off to the surprising hot start last year, goes down pretty early in the season, and it was the Gardner Minshew show. He almost got him into the playoffs. They finished above 500, kind of exceeding expectations. Is Anthony Richardson the guy? He was for what, 3 weeks? Last year, I actually see this team taking a step back. I don't really have much to add on them, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I'm not going to make the declaration of they will take a step back, but I definitely put it in the realm of possibility because we Gardner Minshew's not a bad quarterback,
No.
and he led that team very well. They do have pieces. All of the potential for Anthony Richardson to be a starting quarterback is there. Jonathan Taylor, great running
Taylor.
back, good offensive line. A pretty good wide receiver room with Pittman, Josh Downs, reliable slot guy, and then you draft Adonai Mitchell. The defense has some playmakers. If Anthony Richardson is as advertised, I think they can be competing for that division title slash a wild card spot, depending if it does or doesn't go their way. But if he's not, and the questions with Anthony Richardson were always his passing. It was never the physicality, the can he run, can he take off, and can he run this dual threat offense? So we still need to see that from him. Obviously, 3 weeks is not enough to prove anything to anyone, and so we'll see what happens. So I can absolutely, like you say, see a realm of possibility where they do take a step back, just because Gardner Minshew is not awful, and he kind of kept that team afloat. And actually, you say their dropped pass away. I think I forgot it was like Tyler Goodson, that like fourth string running back who somehow stayed in the game, ran the out route, and there was the big classic. Oh my God, the outrage of why wasn't Nyheim Hines out there or whoever their pass catching specialist was at the time? Why wasn't he there? And it's like, well, that's just a play for the kid. Gardner Minshew threw it a little bit outside. It hit the kid in the hands. He didn't catch it. It is what it is. If they make that play, they win the division and they're in the playoffs over Houston. But yeah, it's a team that can compete.
Tennessee Titans. I'll go to the bottom here. A team I think is going to be drafting in the bottom five personally. It's the Will Levis era, I guess you call it. Not necessarily sold on him being complete trash, but also not sold on him at all either. So we'll see. He's not really given a ton to work with. DeAndre Hopkins seems to like to play there, I guess. He likes to lose. It's you get rid of Vrabel. It's a new coaching regime. They've had a lot of turnover the last, I don't know, 18 months here. And they went through that kind of period where they were always just like, not this, I'm not going to call it like the Washington thing we compared to because it was better than that,
Yes.
but they were in that kind of frisky make the playoffs or just be on the outside of that for the last 6 or 7 years, probably. And they're going to have to get bad before they get better because they kind of prolonged that maybe a little too long.
What I had is just this team is weird to me because I agree with you where this is probably one of the teams I can or not confidently because it's the NFL, you never know, but if I had to guess, I guess they're picking in the top five. Yet they keep signing these older players and not necessarily to long-term, long money deals. Now, Calvin Ridley, yes, but you have D Hop, you sign Calvin Ridley, you trade slash sign L'Jarius Sneed, you bring in Tony Pollard to replace Derrick Henry, you sign Jamal Adams, you sign Quandre Diggs. It's like, again, they don't have big money tied into most of these guys. Most of these guys are 1-2 year deals max, but I just like, what are you trying to be a nursing home for these people? Like, blow it up. I guess maybe they want to give Will Levis a chance. I mean, name wise, Will Levis has a decent offense around him, and I have liked what they've done in the past two first round drafts, such taking J.C. Latham and Peter Skoronski to kind of fix up your offensive line because we talk about bad offensive lines. I think they might have had the worst one last year in terms of sacks allowed, but I just don't see this team going anywhere.
The Jacksonville Jaguars looking to improve, to say the least.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble. You just paid T-Law a boatload of money, and if he can't take
Oh,
a step
yeah.
forward, it's going to get very, very ugly. They bring in Mitch Morse to help the offensive line and Eric Armstead to help the defensive line, but it's kind of it. You lose Calvin Ridley, replace him with a combination of Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas Jr., who I don't love, Brian Thomas Jr. I'll try and be fair. Like I said, as much as I get annoyed by T-Law as a fantasy owner and a guy who watches him put up 15 points a week and hate the fact that he's Mr. Jesus and still living off his freshman year at Clemson, but they also were impacted by injuries late in that season. And to be completely fair, it's not like they finished 5-12. They were also
No.
one game away from winning that division and hosting the Browns without Deshaun Watson in a playoff game, potentially winning it and moving on to try their luck against Baltimore. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this team's a total disaster, but I think they're questionably in trouble because I think that division got very good very quickly with the emergence of Stroud and kind of the complete team that Indianapolis has.
Yeah, I actually kind of see them right being at 9-8 again, I think. But it's no longer a disappointing season. I just think that's what they are.
Yep. Which might be disappointing.
True, I guess, compared to what it was maybe 18 months ago.
The Texans, last team.
The top dog.
Yep.
I'll let you go. I know you're a
Yeah,
big
I was
Stroud
just gonna
guy.
say they're kind of the fireworks of the NFL. So much fun to watch. Some of that just like it, I don't want to call it the video game because that's kind of a cop out, but like some of those passes that Stroud was throwing were just like NFL teams don't call plays like that. Like there was more of a college style offensive, like screw it, my guy's down there and it's gonna work out because I'm CJ Stroud and I can drop the ball wherever I want to. You
And
add
you only
Stephon
add to it.
Diggs, you add Stephon Diggs, you add Joe Mixon, you sign Danielle Hunter to pair with Will Anderson. They have a very, very good team, and if Stroud avoids that sophomore slump, they should absolutely win their division and absolutely be major players in this loaded AFC.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. I think people they're now. It's can they take that step now that people expect them to be good? Can
Yes.
you take that step up and be a true contender in a still tough, very tough AFC?
Yep.
The funny addition that I'm looking at who they added. A name you might remember in at cornerback Jeff Okuda.
Oh,
I
Hefe. Oh boy. Pain.
saw a video today that was the Matt Patricia riding on like the bike
ATV.
or that yeah the ATV coming out of the tunnel because he was so large. And then Detroit fans forget that in a matter of months they went from that to this, and then it was Dan Campbell doing burpees with the guys.
Yeah, tough scene.
We've got two more, two good ones. We'll go to the north.
All right, where are we starting?
We'll start at the bottom for me at least, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I actually don't really have much to say about the Steelers. I still don't, they're in this kind of purgatory period. Russell Wilson's the guy now. Can he have a resurgence of his career here? If not, they have Justin Fields in the works, and I'm not totally sold Justin Fields is completely forgettable at this point. So I mean, obviously you lose Deontay Johnson. They hope that Pickens can completely be the guy as far as the number one receiver. They're definitely not bad. Unfortunately, this is a tough division for me. I see them probably being a 6-win team with Russell Wilson.
I'm going to give him a little bit more credit just because Mike Tomlin always works his magic, but I agree with you. I think this is the year that their stupid over 500 streak under Tomlin ends. I see 8 and 9, and honestly, it's not really even like something that the Steelers did. Like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are both probably upgrades on Kenny Pickett last year. They
Yeah.
used Deontay Johnson. They continue to invest in the offensive line. The defense is still good. It's just, this division is an absolute gauntlet. Obviously, last year got a little better because the Bengals' entire team passed away. But what are you supposed to do against this division? It's going to come down to some quarterbacking play, and they probably, or not probably, they do have the worst quarterbacks in the division. And also, you don't really know who your quarterback is. And if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterback.
I argue they might not have the worst quarterback situation in the division.
I mean, I like making fun of Deshaun too, but he's still slightly better than what Russell Wilson and Justin Fields
I'm
are.
not so sure. I'm not so sure. He was pretty bad. We'll get into them. He's healthy. He's back. And after kind of what Joe Flacco did for them at the end of the year, kind of willing them to the playoffs, they've still got some guys on this roster. They had Jerry Jeudy, Jameis Winston as a backup just in case it does go bad for Winston. For Watson again. I don't know. This is still a solid team. They lost a little bit on defense. But I think this is another odd man out team for me, though. They have a ton of talent. Nick Chubb's back after suffering that horrible injury. But I think this is probably, if I'm looking at this division, this team's an odd man out for me. And that's because of the quarterback play.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of held him in a similar regard to the Rams, where I can see him in the playoffs like last year because Myles Garrett is that dominant, and he kind of at least last year established himself as the best player on the defensive side of the football. But I could also see 6 wins, and yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Deshaun Watson's great. He's not. He's not what he was pre-suspension and pre-shoulder injury. But you bring in Jerry Jeudy, you mentioned Nick Chubb coming back. It's a good offensive line. The defense rides Myles Garrett, and they're amazing. And then there's so many questions about Deshaun that I see so many different outcomes. Where did they, like you said, did they get better last year with Joe Flacco coming in? Maybe.
Record-wise, they did.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals. This feels like a team that's a brand new team. 9-8 last year. I'll let you get into the rest.
I'm just going to say keep your quarterback healthy because you've not been able to do that over the course of his career so far.
No,
And
no.
then, kind of like what I said with the Vikings, there's issues with T. Higgins, but I'm not evaluating the 2025 Bengals. I'm evaluating the 2024 Bengals, which means T. Higgins is here. So you have a great 1-2 punch at receiver. You bring in Zach Moss to kind of lessen the blow of losing Joe Mixon, and Zach Moss is a very underrated running back. The defense has some players. You lose DJ Reader to the Lions, which is actually a pretty big loss for kind of the inside of that defensive line. But keep your quarterback healthy. If you do that, the sky's the limit for these guys because Joe Burrow does have that swagger, that confidence, the only guy to have beaten, or the only active quarterback to have beaten Mahomes in a playoff game. So this is a team that knows we get into the playoffs, you don't want to play us. Whether we're at home or we're coming to you, you don't want to play us. So keep him healthy and try and enjoy that.
That's what I think it is you're just trying to get in the playoffs if you're the Bengals. You know it's a gauntlet of a schedule in that division. You don't care about seeding, though. You just get in and you let Joe Burrow do his thing, and that's they'll be fine as long as he stays healthy, like you said.
Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens. Another can you get over the hump with Lamar team?
Yeah, I said I kind of had a similar talk about kind of like the 49ers. This is the best roster in the AFC from top to bottom. The receiver room is really the only flaw. You add Derrick Henry, which is probably the greatest fit between player and team I think I've ever seen, or maybe in the league. Offensive line is good, tight end's great, defense is elite. Can Lamar get him over the hump?
And people forget Mark Andrews is not healthy for most of last year. They'll get that's basically like having a new addition. That's his top target. Like you said, the best roster in the AFC, probably all over the place. It's will Lamar get you to the promised land? And I think unfortunately there's a couple guys standing in his way when it's all said and done.
Agree. To the west, where do we start?
Let's start at the bottom. For me, that's the Las Vegas Raiders. You already had, I don't know if you watch receiver at all, but Davante Adams is one of those guys, and he did nothing but worry for his life while Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback. Now, obviously, he's not there. I was a little surprised they didn't go and get a new quarterback in this draft. I think it'll end up being Gardner Minshew as a starter. Over Aiden O'Connell. Sorry, Purdue fans. But like you said, he's not a bad quarterback. There are still some pieces there. Max Crosby's there. You have Davante Adams, who's still somehow still one of the best receivers in football, despite him being very, very old for that position. You add Brock Bowers for another weapon. I don't know. I don't think it's enough. You lose Josh Jacobs. There's just not enough pieces there. They were scrappy at the end playing for their new head coach. Why am I blanking on his name?
Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce. There we go. But will him in his first full year as the head coach be able to get it done? I don't know. I think they got slightly worse, if anything.
So I take a slightly different approach, and not by drastic measures. I just think they're better than the Broncos. Antonio
Maybe.
Pierce is the closest thing to Dan Campbell in the league, where the players love
True.
this guy. I mean, you had
True.
Max Crosby publicly come out and say, if you do not hire him, my trade request will come in a minute after the news comes out that you've hired someone else. They love this guy. They're willing to die for him. I mean, you bring in Christian Wilkins to kind of pair with Max Crosby on that defensive end. I just think that they didn't, or they weren't quite blessed with the resources that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell were blessed with all those extra picks from the Stafford trade. I think this is a team that is, obviously they're not going to be good. I don't think they're really going to go out there and flirt with a playoff spot, but I think they have a foundation. They have a coach that people can buy into, and they, like you say, they do have some pieces. Brock Bowers, Davante Adams. I mean, Jakobi Meyers is a pretty underrated kind of wide receiver too. I don't think the loss of Josh Jacobs is actually that big. I think he kind of, I'm gonna say, I don't want to say ran his course, but I think he kind of, he's a running back and he's not one of the great ones. So what do you really care about that for? Let him walk.
I kind of agree.
So
And now that I'm looking at the Denver Broncos, we'll move on to
they have
them. And I
nobody.
actually am going to agree with you that this is definitely the worst team in the West. I
They're awful.
misspoke. I looked at key additions on offense, and the
There
only
wasn't
name I
any.
see is Zach Wilson. That's usually not a good thing when you're seeing that. There's a decent amount of turnover on a defense that was already, not that great to begin with. Sean Payton has been an epic failure so far in a year and a half there. You bring in 37-year-old Bo Nix to be the rookie starting quarterback. I'm not optimistic at all on Bo Nix. He's a guy like maybe it's I just had a thing for these old guys that weren't good at multiple spots before they got good when they were older than everybody else on the field, like Jayden Daniels and Bo Nix. But that's who Bo Nix is. He had one of the best offensive coaches and one of the best offenses around him for it to take for to him to even be a competent quarterback. He was dog shit for 3 years at Auburn. I'm not sold at all on him. This is a team that's probably going to win six games.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all, and I think they're kind of in full rebuild. Russell Wilson has, I'm pretty sure, the largest cap hit in NFL history, and he doesn't
Oh,
play for
yeah, then they
them.
have that shit. Yep,
And
I
I just
forgot
think that
about
the
that.
only thing that really kind of this says is that I think Sean Payton has assurances that no matter how bad this year goes, he's going to be the coach in 2025 as well.
Right.
And that's fine. If you want to use it as a building year, use it as a building year. I mean, you talk about the defense. You trade away Bradley Chubb in season to the Dolphins. It's Pat Surtain and a bunch of nobodies. So this team, obviously, we mentioned Jerry Jeudy going to the Browns. I think he needed that change of scenery. He had
Oh
not
yeah.
panned out in Denver. So good for him to kind
Oh
of get
yeah.
out there and hopefully he can rejuvenate the career. But no, this team is bad. This is another one of those teams where if Bo Nix isn't above advertised, because again, I'm kind of with you. I don't think he's great. If he's not above advertised, I could also see this team picking towards the bottom of the or top of the
Yeah.
draft, whichever way you want to see it.
The Los Angeles Chargers, kind of another team with a lot of question marks. It's the Jim Harbaugh era. They draft his favorite position, offensive line, in the first round. They went 5-12 last year. It was just an utter disaster, while also losing a ton of names. And granted that they were, most of them were older players. We've mentioned Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams specifically, but still, guys, you bring in at running back the what's left of the Ravens kind of graveyard of Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. I don't know. I think they're frisky. I think Harbaugh maybe brings something to revive. I don't want to say revitalize because he was hurt. Justin Herbert's career, but I think they're far away from really being good. But they're definitely going to be better than 5-12.
So I was gonna say year one of the Harbaugh era, and again, I hate this guy with all of my guts, but I'm gonna try and be fair to him. This team needs so much work, so you can't have expectations year one. You mentioned the guys you've
Yeah.
already lost. You don't mention the guys they will lose. Khalil Mack is not here long term. What's
Right.
left of Joey Bosa is not here long term. Derwin James, do we know if he's gonna play more than six games a season? He doesn't do that very often in his professional career, so is he gonna be there long term? But at least with Harbaugh, you have the identity. You mentioned taking Joe Alt at five. It's just this is a team where I don't expect anything. Another thing, Herbert, I don't know if you saw, he's already got a foot injury, and depending on
Yeah.
what
I
rumors
thought it
you
was
have,
finger.
what?
I thought it was finger.
Oh, I saw it was a foot injury that at least that I've seen.
Okay.
But depending on what rumors you do or don't read, it's one of those injuries that's going to linger until the thing fully tears, and that's when they can actually go and fix it. So he might be at 70% of himself for the whole season until they can kind of go in there and actually operate on him. But that's based on the rumors you read. Maybe I'm just totally off and I'm on some deep web, super kind of just conspiracy theory website, but that's what I've seen with Justin Herbert. So I think this might actually end up being a pretty bad division and the Chiefs can run away with it.
Yeah, it is a right foot injury.
Do you want to know what my notes were for the Chiefs?
Run it back, Turbo.
I don't have notes for the Chiefs. Now, maybe I was just very, very tired because I'd already done 30 NFL kind of previews and I just didn't want to deal with it. But my notes for the Kansas City Chiefs are quite literally nothing. You have Jesus at quarterback. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say here?
Yeah, I mean, look at what they want. It's just reuse, recycle with this team. I mean, on defense, you lost Willie Gay and Legarius Sneed. You get Xavier Worthy as far as getting a running or a wide receiver for him. And it seems like Rashee Rice is not going to be there long term. So, you know, it's another year of kind of, obviously, you added Hollywood Brown too, but overall, other than Travis Kelce, it's another year of who knows at receiver, but like you said, you have the best player in the sport, a defense that is still far from the bottom. And yeah, it's just running back turbo, I think. Like you said, in what's probably the weakest AFC West he may have even had in his career so far.
Yeah, so there's that. There's our kind of previews of the teams. That's kind of, well, I think we got a pretty good hour and something out of this. So if you make it this far, thank you very much. I have a dynasty draft to run to here in 19 minutes, so I'm not going to keep this a long kind of outro from myself. Kind of go Lions, and we'll be talking about them in a couple weeks.
Yeah, everyone wish Vladdy good luck.